Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining our broadcast as we study God's Word rightly divided. We're going to be continuing today here in our studies in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 16, which says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And as we've been studying here, looking at the event that the Apostle Paul is describing here, the catching out of the saints, what we typically will call the rapture, we see how as Paul's describing the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for the body of Christ, he speaks about how he will be coming with three different things. They'll be coming with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Now, we've already covered the issue of the shout in previous episodes. We've been looking at the issues of the voice of the archangel, and we will get to the discussion related to the trump of God, which the Lord Jesus Christ will be coming with. And as we've been describing the things of the angelic realm, we've been really looking at how it is that the angelic realm is functioning throughout Scripture. And we looked at how the angelic realm functioned in time past with the nation of Israel. Last week, we looked at the issues of the angelic realm and how they're functioning today during the dispensation of the grace of God. And what we're going to be looking at today is going to be a discussion about the ages to come and looking at how the angelic realm is going to be functioning in the books of Hebrews through Revelation, which describe the ages to come. Now, we'll start here. Let's go over into the book of Hebrews. We'll go to Hebrews chapter number 1. And we're going to be looking at something that the author of the book of Hebrews writes here related to the angelic realm. We're going to read the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, which say, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits, send forth the minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So here we have the author of the book of Hebrews talking about the angelic realm and looking at it from the aspect of God the Father in verse 13, when it says, "To which of the angels said he at any time," the he being God the Father, looking at the angels and saying, and the question is really, did he ever say to any of them what is recorded in Psalm 110, verse 1, the issue of "sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool," then describes in verse 14 the issue of "are they not all ministering spirits?" And really looking at the aspect of how in the ages to come, which is dealing with the finishing up of the prophetic program and the setting up of the kingdom, that you shift from a focus on the Gentiles and the body of Christ during this dispensation, focusing back on the nation of Israel, the establishment of the kingdom on the earth, and the angelic realm is going to be starting to do some of those same things that we saw related to time past, which is why Hebrews chapter 1 is describing the fact that the angels are, as it says, are they not all ministering spirits? So that they're going to be ministering unto the faithful remnant of the nation of Israel for that particular purpose of what we see of the establishment of the kingdom. We go back to Matthew chapter number 25, and you have, before the crucifixion occurs, that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving the disciples some information about the establishment of the kingdom. And here in chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, we're just going to read verse number 31, which says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So, when he comes to set up the kingdom on the earth, that the angelic realm is going to be coming with him to rule over the things on the earth, helping the Lord Jesus Christ in that ministering spirit role that we just read about in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 1. And so we see that the angels, when you go, especially when you go through the book of Revelation, that there is numerous mentions of the angels being part of that wrath that's going, the wrath and judgment that's being poured out after the day of the Lord starts. If we turn over to the book of Revelation, let's go to Revelation chapter number 7. And we're going to read a number of passages here from the book of Revelation dealing with this. And we'll start here at Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And then the rest of the chapter is going to be talking about the sealing of the 144,000 faithful individuals, 12,000 from each tribe. Now, the focus of those first three verses is talking about, as part of that ministering spirit role that they have, that the angels are going to be carrying out that wrath and judgment that's being described, carrying out the events of the day of the Lord. And that's why you see numerous times throughout the book of Revelation, as it talks about another event being carried out in this time frame, that it starts with a discussion of the angel doing something. For example, we go over to chapter number 8 here in the book of Revelation. And we'll start here again right at verse number 1. It says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." So we see how, as the seventh seal was opened, and you have the start of the seven trumpet judgments that are going on here, that there's a thing of that it's the angels who are going to be blowing these trumpets, bringing about the next part of this wrath being poured out. You see in verse 3, it starts describing this another angel. It says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And then you read verse 7 where it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And you're going to see as the chapter continues that each time there's a discussion of one of these trumpets being blown, it's the angel who is doing it. And then the description that happens of what results from the angel blowing that trumpet, declaring that message of the next part of God's wrath being poured out. And the role that the angelic realm has in this event, pouring these things out upon the earth because of the failures of not only the nation of Israel, but all of mankind as well. Let's turn over to Revelation chapter number 12. And we see how there's going to be a description here of something that happens in the heavenly places here. We're going to read just verses 7 and 8 here in Revelation chapter number 12. It says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So we see how there's a battle that breaks out here in Revelation chapter number 12. And that this battle that breaks out is between Michael and the angels that had remained faithful to God, and Satan and the angels that had followed him in the rebellion against God. So this battle that's taking place, the end result of it is that Satan and the angels that had followed him have no more access to the heavenly places once this event happens. Now, we're not focusing on the timing of any of these events as we're reading these passages, and we're not focusing on that because there's a lot of individuals who have all sorts of different viewpoints on exactly how these things are going to be happening. Really, the main thing of what we're looking at today is how the angelic realm that is following God is carrying out the will of God, and that will of God that's laid out here is the pouring out of the wrath of God and the preparation for the new heaven and new earth, which is where the book of Revelation ends. Now let's turn over to chapter number 14. And we're going to see another reference to an angel here in verses 6 and 7. It says, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So now you have this angel, again, functioning as this ministering spirit, as a messenger, and proclaiming the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Now, John does not, you know, give us a thing of, well, we don't know what that is, because verse 7 actually declares what this everlasting gospel actually is when it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour that His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. The everlasting gospel is not the gospel message that was given to the Apostle Paul for us today in this dispensation. The gospel given to Paul is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how if you put your trust in that and that alone, you are saved, you are a member of the body of Christ, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise to keep you as a member of the body until the day of redemption. That is a message that is radically different than what we just read here in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. And I say that because so many times individuals, if they just see that word gospel, they think that the scriptures just talk about one gospel all the way from Genesis chapter 1 through Revelation chapter number 22. Even though that word gospel just means good news, and it's talking about the good news from God to man during that particular dispensation. In the dispensation of the grace of God, it's the gospel that's given to the Apostle Paul. Now, as long as we're here, we can continue on here, Revelation 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and in the presence of the Lamb. So, again, we're seeing these angels proclaiming the judgment of God. And you see, particularly in verses 9 and 10, that judgment that's being proclaimed on the individuals that have received the mark of the beast, which is referred to in the previous chapter. And it says, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. So when individuals start talking about things of that the something is the mark of the beast today, you know, the things that they're talking about, it's not things that fall into that description of what the scriptures actually say. They're twisting things around. You know, there's been a number of people the last few years that have talked about how they believe that the vaccine was the mark of the beast. Now, there was not a single person that received the vaccine that received it in their forehead or in their hand. So that's one very easy thing to say that it could not possibly be that. We know that this is something that is going on during the book of Revelation when the prophecy is being poured out. Specifically, we're focused here on the wrath of God being poured out, the angels declaring this, which would not be something which the members of the body of Christ would be part of today. Now let's turn over to chapter number 18. And again, we're going to see another instance of an angel proclaiming a judgment that's being poured out here. We're going to read the first two verses of Revelation chapter 18. It says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird," and continues on describing the things about what has happened to Babylon as a result of their fall and rebellion against God. Now let's turn over to chapter number 19. And we're going to see an issue here of, you know, a proclamation being given. And we'll start right at verse 1 of Revelation 19. It says, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." And then you see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth to judge and to set up the kingdom at that time. And what you're seeing here in Revelation 19 is the angelic realm making that declaration, functioning as that minister to carry out the things of what God's word has actually said. And as we had looked at, you know, last week, we saw how, you know, the angelic realm knew and understood all the things of the prophetic message, that none of this was hidden from them, that they had no idea any of the things related to the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's why they shift from the issue of being that ministering spirit to observing us and learning from us, rather than having to be the ones declaring what God is saying. They're learning specifically from us about the things of what God is doing here today. Now, next week, we'll continue looking at some of these things related to the angelic realm and the purpose of the angels here, as we've kind of laid out time past, but now the ages to come. We'll focus some more specifically on some other things related to the relationship between man and the angels to kind of close out this idea of coming with the voice of the archangel when he returns for the body of Christ. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files to help you in your study of God's Word, some charts to help you with that as well, some information about how to join either our Sunday service or our Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. If you happen to be in the Buffalo area, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at 83 Anderson Road. As always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.